Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I lay.
Heavenly Father, we magnify and glorify your holy name. You are the Alpha and the Omega, You're the beginning and the end. You're altogether lovely. We worship you now for who you are, God. God, we seek repentance now for not walking all the way with you. We pray that our hearts and our minds be renewed and purified by the blood of Jesus and by the word that goes forth. God, sanctify us, Lord God, and make us whole in Jesus' name. We thank you for this day that you have blessed us with, and we thank you for the provisions that you have given. For those on the line who may not have, God, we know that you see all and you know all, and we trust that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We pray that we forget about ourselves at this moment, God. God, that we learn how to concentrate on you, Lord God, and worship you. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide into all truth. God, allow seeds to be planted and watered on tonight, and that you get the increase. God, we come against all forces of darkness now that is trying to hinder your word from going forth. We stand with our garments on, Lord God. God, we secure the helmet of salvation. We secure the breastplate of righteousness. We make sure that our feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We buckle tight the belt of truth, God, on tonight, not forgetting our shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. God, allow your love to flourish and fear to be cast out now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we seek your guidance and your guidance alone. Holy Spirit, use my tongue to speak truth tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, let your word go forth, only your word. God, that we not have ourselves, Lord God, before you, but God, that you are the center of everything that is in us, through us, and around us. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So just giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is my everything. Giving honor to my husband, Sherman, for allowing me to even be here, and just the encouragement that he has given. To give honor to the leaders, Apostle Marcus Dupree and Lady Dupree. Just thank you for your guidance as well. And, again, I just thank God for each and every one of you that is on the line tonight. So welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour. Prophetess Crystal Matthews, and I'll be your host on tonight. And for those of you who have not called in before, just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, just press 1 to speak. Again, the number 347-945-5416. And so we're going to just jump in tonight in the Word. We're going to go to the book of Revelation. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Again, that's Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And beginning at verse 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and has not fainted." Verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So amen, bless the reading of the word of God. So before I get into the church of Ephesus and kind of talk about that, I'll just talk a little bit a background of it. Just the book of Revelation itself, I know a lot of times as the body of Christ, we tend to shun ourselves away from this book. If it was a title of a movie, it would probably be listed as a horror movie because a lot of people are just that terrified of the book of Revelation. But it's so important that we read this book, especially in this day and time, for what's going on. And even in the book of Revelation, it talks about how those that read the book, there's a blessing in it. But not just read it, if you are hearers of the word, but also keep what it says. And that's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, blessed is he that reads, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And so for those of you, you know, for those of us, I'll put it that way, if we have not read the book of Revelation yet, or it's been a while since you've read the book of Revelation, it's time to dwell back in, because it is so important that we know what is going on in the end time. So here you have the Church of Ephesus. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Ephesus itself, the city of Ephesus, and then bring you up to speed of how this letter was then written to this particular church in Ephesus. So the word Ephesus actually means desirable. And this particular city is probably one of the largest cities in Asia Minor. The place now, I think it's modern-day Turkey, where that place was. And it was a flourishing city. It was one of the largest seaports, and so it had business that was fluctuating. It had that was flourishing, I'm sorry. There was just a lot of political success going on within that particular area. And what they were known for is the temple of Artemis, or better known as Diana. There was a goddess that this temple was erected to. And there were a lot of course, ungodly things that were going on in that temple. But in the midst of all of that, still, the church was built. And Paul was actually one of the apostles that was a part of that. He spent a long time in Ephesus, and he was there, and he actually wrote a letter to Ephesus as well. You have the book of Ephesians, which is Paul's letter to the people in Ephesus. So now that brings us up to speed is to Revelation. And John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos when he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. So these visions and these sayings that John saw and heard, these were directly from Jesus the Christ. And one of the things that he was told to write down, which the things that you saw and the things that are, and this was one of them, to write down these letters and to send these letters out to the seven churches in that area, and the Church of Ephesus was one of them. So let's jump into the scripture, and I'm going to just take my time tonight and just teach this and see what the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit leads. So verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And so right here you see in verse 1, it says, unto the angel of the church. So the angel, meaning the messenger of the church, the person that God put in charge of his sheep at that particular church. He's writing the letter to that person. However, we all know that the head is still part of the body. And so even though the letter is addressed to the angel of that particular church, it still goes to everyone that is a part of that body. And I'll talk about the body of the church in just a moment. And then it says, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Well, that's talking about Jesus Christ. And so when you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it says, and he that has in his right hand the seven stars, that first part. And then verse 13, it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And again, so this is directly coming from Jesus the Christ. This is not John's revelation. This is not man's revelation. This is Jesus Christ talking directly to the church. And so verses 2 and 3 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And verse 3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And so Psalm chapter 1, verse 6 says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So God knows our ways. He knows what they were doing. He sees the work that they were doing. And one of the main things that they were doing, it says, you know, they tried, they tested those spirits of those people that say they're apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. And we know in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where it talks about, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're of God. Mm-hmm. Because you can't believe everyone that comes in, and because they have a title or because they say, I'm from God, we still have to have that responsibility to test the spirits. And so he saw all those things that they were doing. Let's read a little further. Verse 4 says, nevertheless. Now, anytime you see that word, nevertheless, that means however. But let's look at this. So he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So when you think about that, you go back to verses 2 and 3, and here's a church that has been laboring, and they've been patient, and they can't bear evil, and they have spirit of discernment, and they have all this stuff going on, but they have left their first love. And how many of us have been in that same position where we get so busy doing things for God that we forget God? And so I want to ask you tonight, are you a member of the Church of Ephesus? Are you a member of the Church of Ephesus? And so, again, like I said, this church, they kept doing things for God. You know, they were out in the community, and they were at every service, and they didn't miss a Sunday or Saturday, whatever, whenever you go to church, and they labored and they tested and they knew right from wrong, but they left their first love. And so we have to be careful with the body of believers that our house not be out of order. And when I say house, talking about the body of Christ, the church. Because a lot of us, the church is out of order. We're doing things for God, and we're thinking that this is going to get me in. In other words, we're doing things based off of works and not with a relationship with God. And when that happens, it allows for other things to come in, such as unforgiveness and envy and strife. Because you're so busy doing the work for God that hearts aren't changing, that minds aren't changing. And so we have to be so careful not to be a member of the Church of Ephesus. Paul says it clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, meaning love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, again, love, I am nothing. And verse 3 tops it off. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. And so this is what the Church of Ephesus was like. They've done all this stuff. They've given themselves even over, their bodies to be burned, like it said in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I've done all this stuff. I've labored. But it doesn't mean a thing if love is not there. How many of you have been in a situation where you've worked on a project, whether it be for work or for church or for a friend, and you've labored? I mean, you put in the work for it. And then they come to you and they say, oh, we're not going to do it again. Oh, I don't need that again. And the first thing comes out of your mouth is like, I did all that for nothing. And so where is your heart in that? Were you doing it because they just asked you to do it? Or were you doing it because this is something that you love to do? And so even if it's canceled or even if something happened, and you know what, then there's a lesson that I learned out of this. You know, there's something that I got out of this still. But most of the time, what comes out of our mouth is, I did all that for nothing. And so that's where Ephesus was, that they felt that they were doing all this stuff, but it was for no good. They left something. They left their first love. And so in verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. So I'm going to start right there. So it says, remember from whence thou art fallen. So that means they were already in a fallen state. Because go back, remember where you fell from. And that's what happens when love is not present. You see, God is love. And so when he is not in the midst of something and you start doing things and you thinking, I'm doing this for the work of Christ, then you'll fall and not even realize it. It's like being at the beach and you're having fun, you know, in the ocean. And you look up, and before you know it, the tide tipped you all the way over the one side. And you thinking to yourself, how did I get over here? Because I didn't move, but you did move. But the thing is, you didn't realize you moved. And so that's what we have to remember, that they didn't even realize they had fallen. He said, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Repent. What does that word mean, repent? So many times we take that word to mean, oh, just asking God for forgiveness or telling God that we're sorry. But the word repent actually means to change one's mind, to go in a different direction. So what he's telling them is, I need to change your mindset on this. You're doing all this work. You're having the spirit of discernment. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But I'm not there. So I need you to change your mindset on this. And I need you to begin to agree with me that, hey, I need to be there. You know, it's like having someone who's leader, who's in the leadership team, or not, you don't even have to be in the leadership team. If you're very active in church and you have a family, and you're constantly in church and you're leaving your family and you're constantly at church, at work, and elsewhere, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm doing this for them because I need to get better and I need to build a relationship with God. But your family is like, hey, wait a minute. What about us? We're over here. Hello. And that's what God is telling them. Jesus Christ is like, hello. I mean, you're saying you're doing all this stuff for me. I mean, and it even says in verse 3, he says, and has patience, and for my name's sake, they labored. For his name's sake. They didn't even do it in their own flesh, but for his name's sake. But yet they still forgot about him. And so it's important that we not forget why we're doing what we're doing. And if we don't know why we're doing what we're doing, then that's when we need to ask God, okay, God, I need you to reset me so I can start over. And that's what he says next. After repent, he says, and do the first works. That means to start over, to go back. Go back to the cause. Go back to that first time when you gave your life to Christ and you were so excited and you were so happy and you shared the gospel and it was just all about, I just want to be in God's presence. I don't care what's going on around me. And that's what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to go back into his presence. He wanted them to go back and to listen to him, listen to his instructions about what to do. We must do the same. We must start over. Do the first works. Go back to that time when you were in that relationship with God. And that will take you back to that place of doing things not to be seen, an outward appearance, or even just doing it just to be busy. But you did it because God told me to do it, and I love him. And because I love him, because I sat enough, long enough to even listen to him, then I know this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it for his glory. And it says, or else I will come quickly. So many times we think we have a lot of time to get things right. You know, we just think to ourselves, grace will cover me. You know, I can get it right when I got time. And what Paul wrote, you know, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Meaning that grace will run out. Now, don't get me wrong. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. But when we abuse it, in other words, when God warns us, you know, don't do this. You're slipping. Come back. You're slipping. You know, and we ignore it the first time. And he tells us again, keep coming. You're slipping. And we ignore it the second time. And he continues to call us. And we continue to ignore him. And he continues to call, and we continue to ignore. That's when he said, I'll come quickly. I've warned you. I've warned you about this before. Because what happens is once we continue to ignore the word of God, then we begin to reason within ourselves. And we begin to actually talk within ourselves that what we're doing is okay. That it's okay to live in sin. You know, we try to, well, everybody else, you know, did it. I'm not the only one that did that particular sin. So, I mean, I'm sure God won't really be mad at me, you know. So I'm going to just do it. And I haven't done it as much as everybody else has. And it's okay. It's fine. And then before you know it, we begin to justify the sin itself. Well, I don't believe it's a sin at all. I think it's just fine the way we are. And before you know it, you're fallen. You're fallen. You're in a fallen state because you've now reasoned yourself out of what truth is. So then he goes on and he says, oh, and just with quickly, one of the things too, judgment begins at the church. And so in other words, he's getting his church together. When I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, not a particular church, even though this letter was sent to Ephesus. It applies to anyone that's a part of the body that is in this particular position. And so that's where judgment began. So tonight, even as I'm speaking about the church of Ephesus, you should be asking yourself, does this fit me? Is it something that I'm doing? Am I laboring? Am I doing all these things for God, but then I forgot him? This is what you need to be asking. And so 1 Peter 4:7 talks about that, how judgment begins at the church. It begins at the house of God. And as I mentioned, you know, with repentance, it's just a little deeper than what we think it is. And so we have to understand that and remind ourselves of that. And then he says, or else I come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. And the word again, except thou repent. So the candlestick, it tells what the candlestick is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So this is the representation of the church of Ephesus. And he said, you know, if you don't do this, if you don't go back and do your first works, if you don't repent, remove your candlestick out of its place. Now, the candlestick, or what they call lampstand, in the Old Testament was burned, or one of the oils that was, the oil that was put in was not just some regular oil. You know, if you're like me, when I go to this store and I buy oil, cooking oil, I tend to buy the cheapest one. It don't really make a difference to me. But for those that know cooking and understand cooking, there are certain oils that are good for baking. There are certain oils that are good for frying. and certain oils that are good for other things, and so you have to know which oil is better. And with the candlestick, what happened is they had to use pure, unrefined olive oil. It couldn't be just any old oil that they got out of their house. It had to be a particular oil. And so with the oil was then put in, and then it would burn. And so when you look at that, and he said, I removed that candlestick out of its place, when the church does not have the pure oil of God, when it's mixed with stuff, you know, oil and water doesn't mix. And so when you mix the two, it weakens it, and sometimes it makes it not work at all. And so when he said he removed the candlestick, that's the same thing. He's saying, I removed my oil. I removed that Holy Spirit from underneath it in order for it to burn. The Bible also talks about us letting our light so shine. And if we don't allow our light to shine, then he was like, I'm just remove it. I'll just remove it. And again, not a particular church setting, but the body. We're all part of a body. And like I said, I'll get to that in just a moment and try to break down that body for you. Verse 6 says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so the Nicolaitans, my study came across it. First of all, Nicolaitan means destruction of people. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were a sect mentioned in the Bible who were charged with holding error of Balaam. They were the ones casting a stumbling block before the church. And so Jesus was telling them, this is one thing I hate as well, and you do hate those deeds as well. And so I'm going to come back, and I'm going to at least acknowledge that in you and remind you of that position or where you are. And then in verse 7, and also just as a reminder, again, the number 347-945-5416. Again, 347-945-5416. And press 1 if anybody has any comments or questions. And so verse 7 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So I'm going to stop right there. He that has an ear, what kind of ear is he talking about? Is he talking about, just an ear like, majority of us have, kind of a physical ear? No, what he's saying there is that ear means the faculty of perceiving with the mind, or the faculty of understanding and knowing. So basically he's saying those that have the ear to perceive what I'm saying, to understand what I'm saying, let him hear what the Spirit says into the churches. And that's not just any spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You see the capital S, that means the Holy Spirit. So he's saying that when you have that ear to hear what God is saying, to understand what he is saying, I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. I want you to get this right. And he wants you to get it right. He's on your side. He's not against you. Sometimes you would, I know when I was younger and we would play games and you would have to tell the opponent or the person on the other side, good luck or, I wish you the best. But in my mind, I was thinking, well, I hope you lose because I'm on the other side. So I want to win. But that's not what he's saying. Jesus wants us to win. And so he's saying, if you have this ear, I want you to grasp this. I want you to get this. And if you don't have an ear to hear, then ask God for understanding. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about the importance of, wisdom and knowledge. But it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. When you don't understand something, it brings about confusion. And we all know that God is not the author of confusion. So where there's confusion, there's not God. And so if you are in a confused state, that's when you have to ask God, God, what is this? What is this that you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? I'm not understanding this clearly. Help me to get understanding in this. And he'll give you that understanding. So that's what he's talking about when he talks about the ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And then he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And this is not just an ordinary life, the tree of life. Life itself, life means of the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. You know, Jesus said, I come that you might have life, but have it more abundantly. So not just an ordinary life, and sometimes we misuse, you know, that word life. We would say, you know, life happens, or, you know, life threw me a curveball, or my life sucks. And, you know, you say all these things, but that's not life. Because when you're not in Christ, you're living in death. The opposite of life is death. And so that's the life that he's talking about. And he said, I'll give that to you if you overcome this. If I overcome what? If you overcome the judgment that I just gave you about going back to your first love, if you overcome that, then this is what I'll give to you. I would give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So again, going back, he says, if you overcome that judgment on what he gives earlier in chapter 2 of Revelation, God will grant you to eat of the tree of life. And it's time to get to know Jesus Christ as the life. For those of us that are saved, we know him as the way. That's how we came in. For those of you that are not saved, the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. He's the way. And then some of us know him as the truth. You know, we see him and it's like, you know, I can recognize truth. Some of us are, unfortunately, being deceived, and so you got to get to know him as the truth so you can recognize truth. And truth comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. And so you have to remember that as well. But very few of us know Jesus as the life. And that's what he's calling us to do. If you do all these things, if you go back, do your first works, you return to me, then I'll give you to eat of the tree of life. And when you get to know him as the life, if you do this, and the thing is, the only way that this can be done and accomplished is by fully denying yourself. You can't get to know Jesus as the life if you still have your own life going on. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Oh, but yet not me, but Christ lives in me. And so that's what we have to be reminded of, that Christ lives in me. I no longer live. My life is no longer my own to live. And when we fully deny ourselves, that's when, then and only then, we'll be able to experience God, and nothing shall be withheld from us. Nothing. But we have to get overcome first. If we fall, we won't make it. If we trip and we stay fall, you know, we won't make it. But you gotta get up, and you gotta persevere, and you gotta overcome. And so let me go back. I was talking about the body, and I mentioned that here and there because, like I said, even though the letter was written to the angel of the church of Ephesus, the head can't do it by itself. There's a body. And it's so important for the body to be in alignment. And so let's look at the physical body first. With our physical body, when the body is considered out of alignment, it restricts the blood flow. Oxygen becomes less. Muscles can't do what they want to do. A lot of times they won't be relaxed when the body is off, thrown off of alignment. Cells can't do what it's required to do. We tend to maybe even get headaches. There's a lot of things that will go on if the body is thrown out of alignment. Also, too, what you eat, what you take in. You know, if I'm constantly eating sugar all day, that will throw my body out of whack because the body was not designed to survive off of sugar alone.
but it has to be a balanced diet. And even with things that are good for you, for example, vegetables, if I only eat vegetables and I eat and I consume, but I'm eating, you know, 4 and 5 bowls of vegetables in the morning and 6, 7 bowls for breakfast in the, for lunch in the afternoon and 12 bowls of vegetables at night, guess what? That's still throwing your body off. Because, again, it has to be in balance. Still have to eat a certain amount, even though it is still good for you. And the body, again, when it's thrown out of alignment, if you don't get it checked on the outside, it looks as if everything's good, everything's healthy. You know, someone looks at you and it's like, oh, you look good, but they don't know what's going on internally. And so now let's flip spiritually. That's what the Church of Ephesus looked like. On the outside, it looked like they were a church that was striving, a church that was working for the Lord, because, again, they were out in the communities and they recognized evil and they tested the spirits and they labored and they were patient. Patience is even just the fruit of the Spirit. You know, they had that, and they were moving on. And so if you look at that church, you would think, oh, my gosh, you know, they're just doing the work of the Lord. But internally, they were missing something. Matter of fact, they were missing something important. And so the same thing goes when spiritually the church body is out of alignment, it can't function the way it needs to function. And so then the blood flow, the blood of Jesus Christ is restricted and it can't flow. Blood cleanses. So blood can't get into all the places that it needs to get into all the members. Then guess what? Then some members may die. Some members may not get the full life that it needs to get. And so we have to be mindful of that when we are out of alignment. It may not look like we are. And that's why going back to your first love is important, because Jesus will allow the Holy Spirit to then tell you, you're out of alignment here. You're out of order there. Things that you said yesterday, you should not say those particular things. And the same thing with being out of alignment, as I mentioned, in the physical body, sometimes your body will begin to produce headaches and you begin to get sick in certain places or areas in your body. Same thing goes with the spiritual side of it. You begin to be sick. And what happens is sometimes when someone is sick long enough or has headaches long enough, they accept it as the norm. I've been having headaches for 25 years. You know, that's just how I am. We begin to accept it. And the Church of Ephesus was about to accept this. Like, this is, I mean, we're doing what's right. It's like, no. You're still leaving something else off. Going back to the same thing with the cells and all these things. And see, those things are internal, but still a part of the body and still important parts of the body. Same thing when it comes to the body of believers, the church. Don't ever feel like you're not important. Don't ever feel like what you're doing is not as important as the head or the neck or the shoulders or what you can see on the outwardness. Because you're just as important. You may be behind the scenes, and God may have you working behind the scenes for all of your life. And you may never necessarily get recognition from man, but you're doing exactly what God has called you to do. And so going back to the physical, when the body is in alignment and it pushes that alignment back, the blood flows so much better. And therefore, oxygen goes to various places. You even think better because oxygen is now going to where it needs to go. When the body is back in alignment, it actually can start healing itself as well. And I'll get to that in the spirit in just a moment. Also, muscles begin to relax and your nervous system begins to operate fully and the heart doesn't overstrain and pumping and you know, the brain isn't foggy, but it's clear and it is sharp. And that's what we have to be reminded of when it comes to that. And so, again, going back into the spirit, here you got the Church of Ephesus. But when the church gets back in line, the blood of Jesus can flow through and can cleanse everything that it needs to cleanse to get it back right. And then healing can take place. Deliverance can take place. And so you no longer will have that church that is doing these outward things and people leaving the same way they came in. Deliverance is not happening. Peace is not in the home. Joy is never to be heard of because you're just doing the outward work and you're not correcting the things that need to be corrected. And when that blood flow is cut off, guess what? There's death on the other side. And so we have to make sure that the blood keeps running, the blood keeps flowing, that our light keeps shining, regardless of what is going on. And even as the head, and so you have, you know, the apostle, and you know, they come in and establish the church. And that's one thing. You have to make sure that that church is established by God himself. In other words, anybody can throw up a church and say, you know, God told me to do this. It's like, did God really tell you to do that? But when the church is mandated by God and you have the head, I don't care how much is mandated by God, the head still can't function by itself. The head still needs the body to function completely. And so as the apostle is the head, close to it is the prophets, and the prophets being the neck. And what happens is you have to be careful in how you allow that neck to turn and can help change that position. And my friend and I were talking about this, and she actually gave this example. And she said, you know, the prophet can actually change the position and say, you know what, I need you to turn left. I see something over here. Turn right. I see something over here. And then it goes into the rest of the body, and you have your hands doing what it needs to do, the feet doing what it needs to do. And I'll go back to the eating part, and I was saying, you know, that can throw your body out of alignment. That's why the church has to be so careful on who you allow to come in to feed you. Everybody can't be invited into your church to speak over your people. You can't do that because you have to be, when you're fed junk, and you keep feeding junk long enough, again, the church dies. It may look like it's functioning, but eventually it will die. And so we have to be careful to protect one another as the body of believers. And we can't be selfish with it either. We can't say, oh, well, I'm doing my part, so I don't care. You can do your part or not, you know. But we have to bear one another burden. You know, Paul talks about that. We have to bear one another burden. And so when one hand is not working, the other hand may have to work a little harder until that other hand gets better. And when we're helping one another to get back into position, to get back in line, then we can hear, we can have that ear to hear what God is saying to us. So we can repent, do the first works, bring him back in. You know, when a person doesn't have a heart, you can have the body all you want, but that's just a dead body. That heart got to be there because that heart has to pump everything, even up to the brain. That heart got to keep pumping, has to keep pumping that blood to flow through. And that's what Jesus was telling them, that you left me. Wait a minute. You have a heart. You got to get that heart back in. Put me back as the heart of the matter. Put me back as the center. And so many times, you know, we say, you know, God is the head of my life or God is first in my life. I've seen that so many times on things and been told so many times. And we say it out of habit a lot of times. But God said, I'm the first and the last. So in other words, what he's saying is I'm everything. I'm not just first. Because if God is only first in your life, the things that are 10th, 12th, 20th, 60th, 120th in your life, that's the farther away it is from God. But when God is the center, he touches every area of your life, every area. And so he can get every area aligned. That's why with some of us, and I say yes, us, with us, there are certain areas in our lives that are in tip-top shape. You know, we give it to God and we make it work. And then there are some areas in our lives that are just falling off. And that's part of the problem. It's falling off because we have not connected that part of our lives to him. So I leave you again with this question. Are you a member of the Church of Ephesus? And if you are you an overcomer? Are you a member of the Church of Ephesus? And if you are you an overcomer? Bless God on tonight. And for those of you, if you have, again, questions or comments, I'm done. I think the Holy Spirit has stopped. So if you do have any questions or comments, again, the number 347-945-5416. Again, the number 347-945-5416. And go ahead and press 1 to speak. Anybody? Okay, while we're waiting, if you have questions or comments, you can go ahead and press 1. While we're waiting, is there anyone on the line tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and want to get to know him as their Lord and Savior, give your life over to him? Or for anyone who wants to rededicate their lives back to Christ, you can press 1 now as well, and we can pray for you. Amen. Okay, if all hearts and minds are clear. Yes, hi, how are you? Hello? Hello, is someone on the line?
They press 1, but they're not saying anything. Oh, you got another one, press 1. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to let you know I enjoyed what you had said tonight and the point about how, you know, we can always be busy with God's, you know, work and then, you know, just forget about God. So that really, you know, touched me right there, basically.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's
all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, bless you. Bless you. Anyone else?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, this is Minister Quick. Praise God. I was trying to give others a chance. I didn't want to not say anything, but I wanted to give others a chance to say something. And I just wanted to say to you that I enjoyed the message, and truly, that's a blessing, because all of us, I don't care what station in life you're in, what you're doing for God, how long you have walked this journey, we all need to be reminded to be careful, because being busy is not always being in the will of God. Even though we're doing things, hopefully, that will ensure the kingdom of God by blessing others and helping others and just being there as that example of love. But we have to be careful in the things that we pursue wholeheartedly, because we want to make sure that they're in the will of God, because without the anointing, even though we're trying to do those things that we might purpose to be right, that anointing of God is what changes the hearts of men. And, you know, when you talk about the church in Ephesus, the one thing that I always found so fascinating is because they were a very wealth, and it was also, when you think of the goddess Diana, in that timing, that was a great center for all of the heresy and the witchcraft and all of the different gods and things that was going on. And so they had the opportunity to be a very Mecca within the Christianity that was going on at the time. And for them to be able to do the works, they had all the abilities and all of the things necessary, and they were rich in a lot of things. But the one thing they lacked was being able to let the feeling of the doctrine, which was being brought forth for salvation, for that to overtake them, so that everything they did was under the doctrine of Christianity, only in the sense of duties, but not in actively saving lives. And we have to be reminded. So I love that, because we know that every day that we wake is privilege, and we must always go before the Lord, because if we don't make him first in the beginning of our day, he's not first in everything that you do. So I just want to encourage you and thank you for the word, because we need each other. And as you feed into me and I feed into you, this is what makes us strong. This is what gives us strength to make it through this journey. So I just want to encourage you, like you've encouraged me, to keep saying what you're saying and keep digging into the word, because it's rich and it's full. And as we feed others, we feed ourselves. So I just want you to be blessed tonight, and that when you lie down to sleep, know that God is pleased, and let the same word wash over you in your mind. Be blessed. I love you.
Amen. Love you too. I appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else?
This is Apostle Free.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Praise
hey,
God.
Bless you. Amen.
Yeah.
This is Apostle Free. I just wanted to say I enjoyed the word tonight. It was good and very
praise
good for you.
God.
First time you're doing it tonight, and doing like a pro, so we think give God glory and honor for his navigation and how he's doing, how he wants to do it. And once again, he deserves all the glory. He's doing it his way. And in his way, he's making you, shaping you, and molding you the way he desired to. So praise God for him. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm proud of you. Amen.
Thank you. All praises to God, like you said. Anyone else? Okay, if there be no one else, I'm going to go ahead and close out in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just again just thank you and praise you for your word.
God,
we pray that we not just be hearers of the word, God, but be doers of the word as well, God. And just pray that this word would take root in our hearts, that it would grow, God, that it would grow into those places and areas of our lives that need that word, God, that would transform our hearts and our minds, that we not forget about those around us, that we continue to pour that word, God, into others that need it, that we continue to be witnesses for you, that we continue to share your word in season and out of season. And God, for those that may be on the line that don't know you on tonight, God, let them not lay their heads down until they have given their lives to you, or ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And just praying, God, that you would just keep them covered, Lord Jesus, as they, even tonight. And for those that are on the line that are already saved, God, that just renew our strength in you, God, and you would continue to pour into us more of the Holy Spirit, continue to cleanse us, cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds to be more like you in all areas of our life. And again, we give you all glory, all honor, all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, God. And just again, thank you for everyone that was on the line tonight. May God add a special blessing to each and every one of you.
Lord.
And just, God continues to bless his word. Let it go forth and do what it was designed to do.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hand. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else.
Anybody here know God brought you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. God.